Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Are you believing God to disannul your decree? Decrees that have come against your life? Demonic decrees that have been over your life or that have come up somewhere that you did not even plan on? The God that we serve is a God who gives us the power to break the decree. Did you know, dear ones, that there are demonic decrees that are spoken of in the Bible? And then there are decrees that God gives to us. He says in his word in Job chapter 22, verse 28, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and he will put his light on all your ways." Beloved saints, God is able to do for you what he did for Esther, what he did for Mordecai, and what he did for his people, to disannul a decree that was written against them, and they had the power to overturn it. No, it did not get reversed, but another decree was written to cause the decree that was written by Haman to be disannulled. And today, I want to share with you how that's done and how God can do the same thing for you in your life. The Bible teaches us about the power of divine reversal. It is possible for whatever demonic spirit, whatever decree, whatever testing you are going through, for God's power to reverse it. Let me read it to you from the book of Esther. On the 12th month, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, it was Venahopak. What does Venahopak mean? It means it reversed. It totally turned upside down. God is able to make every demonic assignment over your life to reverse. The Bible says it turned to the contrary. The Jews had rule over them that hated them. Let's look at the word of God. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. I know many of you say, why is the word house mentioned four times in the same verse? Doesn't that sound superfluous? And the answer to that is yes, it does, on purpose. Because Mordecai, who is one of the authors of the book of Esther, is giving us a very powerful insight to how God moved in the life of Esther, how she was able to bring heaven down to earth, how she was able to constrain the presence of God in the midst of decadence, in the midst of a society, a palace, a culture of complete debauchery, a culture of a people completely void of moral conscience, to be in a place that was absolutely the antithesis of everything she was raised with, of her entire life and devotion to God. Some people think the story of Esther is a fairy tale. They have no idea the woman of God that she was, and how from the very beginning, the text teaches us not only about her impeccable character traits, but the text teaches us her supernatural secrets on how to bring heaven down to earth. And Mordecai is teaching us how to bring heaven down to earth through the word house. Did you realize in Esther chapter 5, verse 1, the word house is used 5 times, actually 4 times. And when you are studying in Hebrew and a word is repeated over and over again, especially if it doesn't need to be there and it's grammatically incorrect to put a word in so many times, this was done on purpose by the author so that we might see the author's intent and then extract the prophetic agenda from the author, because the Word of God is not a piece of boring history. I want you to know that the Word of God is personal, powerful, prophetic, and relevant for you right now, wherever you are. You might be like Esther right now. You might be in a place that's dark. She was in a palace that was completely void of the Word of God. You might be in a palace with an environment where a Haman is in that place. You see, Haman, or Haman, was the most wicked man of his generation. He was obsessed with a diabolical obsession to murder every Jew in the empire. But Esther had a way of constraining God's presence right where she was. And Mordecai tells us this through the word house being used 4 times. Why? Because in Hebrew, the word house is bet, or it means temple. And specifically, there is a code in the book of Esther called the palace code. Do you know how absolutely non-ambiguous that code is? Because every time Mordecai goes to tell us the city of Shushan, he adds Havera, or Shushan the palace, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, would you really call the city of Shushan, Shushan the palace? No. He is emphasizing a very special word in Hebrew in the original language that only King David used. It was a word that was used by King David in reference to the temple of God. So this word, Shushan the palace, translated Shushan Havera in Hebrew, is a very powerful indication that Esther lived in a place just like David, where she was able to constrain the presence of God on earth through her prayer, through her life of fasting, and through her intimate relationship with God going on within herself. You see, you don't have to be 24/7 in a church, even though we want to go to church as much as possible, because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But you don't have to live in a place that just constantly is a place that you feel represents a place where you can worship God freely. I want you to know, some of us are in a place that it feels dark. It doesn't feel safe. There are some of us that are in a place that say, God, where are you? It is possible to bring the presence of God into that place. You are not limited by your environment, because your God is with you wherever you go. And so the scripture is showing us that though Esther was in this place, she still stayed faithful to God, the same way her ancient ancestor stayed faithful to God, and that was Joseph. Do you realize that Joseph is from the line of Rachel? And also, Esther is from the line of Rachel. Esther comes from Benjamin, and Joseph comes from just directly right from Rachel himself, because Rachel had 2 children, Joseph and Benjamin. And so therefore, there are many supernatural similarities between Esther and Joseph. And that is They both were promoted to the scepter of influence. They both were promoted to a place where God used their platform in a very wicked and perverse generation. Both were used and trusted by God to be given a seat of influence and power, not for themselves, because we need to know from studying the Bible, whenever God opens the door of destiny, it's not really about us. It's about God trusting us with a platform, with a place, with a position, so we can become a blessing for someone else. And that's exactly what Joseph did. That's exactly what Esther did. Do you realize, saints, that they both had the same type of testing? They were both in the same kind of place of promotion, and they both were tested with the same testing. And that testing is, can you still serve God when you are alone, when no one is watching, when it's just you and God alone, when there are people all around you who don't know your true identity? Can you still serve God in a place that seems wicked, a place that seems dark, like Pharaoh's palace, or like Potiphar's house, or like Potiphar's wife? I want you to understand, both Joseph, Mordecai, and Esther remained faithful to the Torah values, to the values of biblical principles, and God wants us to remain faithful to the biblical values and the biblical principles, so that when Esther went before the king, the Bible says that when the king saw Esther standing in the inner court, do you realize it really was the inner court? Because she was standing before not only the king on earth, but she was standing before the king of heaven. And she was literally ushered in to the inner court of God's presence because she lived in a place that though it was dark, she was able to constrain and maintain the presence of God over it. The Bible says, beloved saints, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, this thing is by the decree of the watchers and by the demand of the word of the holy ones. Did you know that it was against the laws of the kings of Media and Persia to ever alter or change a decree? Not only in the time of Esther, but we see this in Daniel chapter 6 in the time of Darius for Daniel. The decree could not be reversed. But God is able to give you a prayer on your mouth that is so powerful, a prayer that you can pray to him. And there comes the time that our prayer becomes so anointed that your prayer becomes prophecy. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to join your prayer life today as we pray for every demonic decree to be reversed and for God to reverse the adverse in your life, the same way that he did in the time of Esther. But I want you to know, beloved saints, that God was able to do the impossible through Esther falling a second time before the king with prayer and with tears. And the king stretched out the scepter a second time to Esther. Twice she risked her life going before her people. And twice God gave her supernatural favor. And on the third time, she also went before the king. But on the third time, it was purely prophetic, and she spoke into the future about the Holocaust, and God granted her that request. Now, beloved saints, I want you to understand that though the decree was not turned, it was not reversed. The king gave Esther and gave Mordecai the power to write their own decree. And it was through their decree that became higher than the decree of Haman that their decree overruled the decree of the enemy. And today I am claiming whatever decree you write before God using God's word, whatever decree you speak in God's word in the name of Jesus, that that thing is going to be broken off of your life and that the curse will go into reverse. And the same Purim promise that God promised in his word in the time of the book of Esther is going to happen to you. That the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, they had rule over their enemies. The Bible says the Lord turned Venahapak. He turned the captivity of Job when Job prayed for his friends. God, I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, anyone that is watching this program that has a trouble with any decree at all in their lives, anyone who feels unusual demonic attack, demonic power that will not break, in the name of Jesus, we decree that that power and that spirit is broken. And God, what you did for Mordecai and Esther, you can do for us today. You can reverse the decree if we come together in total agreement as one, the way Mordecai and Esther were on the same page, the way Mordecai and Esther laid their lives down for their people. God, I pray that we would lay our lives down for one another, and that our prayer today would not just be about us, but our prayer today would be for one another. Whoever is watching, let us pray for all those watching. Let us pray not just for ourselves, but let us gather in all of those today who need a miracle, who need a breakthrough, just as it was in the days of Esther, that there was such achdut, that there was such oneness in the spirit, that God, when they wrote that decree was so powerful, it overruled the decree of the enemy. And here's the word of the Lord for you. Psalm 21, verse 11. Here's your decree from heaven, and stand on it. It's your word from the heavens for you. The Bible says, they imagined an evil device against you, a wicked thing that they were not able to perform. God, I thank you that today, whatever evil and wicked is coming against any of your people, today we stand on Psalm 21, verse 11, that they imagined an evil device, a wicked thing that they wanted to do against God's people, but they were not able to perform it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Beloved friends, today I want to give you the opportunity to know the God who hears all of our requests. He is your best friend. He wants to be your best friend if you will allow him. Today you can receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. You know, beloved saints, today, or friends, I want to ask you, do you want your life changed? Are you struggling with sin? Do you need deliverance over every temptation and trial that's been coming into your life? Today you can receive a brand new nature. Today you don't have to depend on your works or your own righteousness. Jesus Christ, who loves you more than you and I will ever be loved by anyone in this world. He loves you more than your mother, your father, your sister, or your brother, or even your best friend, because he died on the cross for you. He knows you and he does not condemn you. He wants to be your friend and he wants to take your hand to walk through with you through the times when you're afraid, through the times when you feel empty, through the times when you feel no one cares. Jesus cares. He loves you and he has a destiny for you. And he died to give you that destiny. He died to raise you up, to give you a prophetic purpose and a calling in life. Today you can say this prayer with me. Would you say it with me? If you want to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my personal Lord and Savior. Wash me clean from my sin. I cannot help myself. I'm a wretched sinner and I need help. Please, Lord Jesus, wash me with your blood. I want to know your saving grace, and I ask you to be my very best friend. Walk with me hand in hand for the rest of my life, and I want to serve you. I turn my life over to you. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer, there is a number on your screen. And now we're going to go to our announcer. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you very soon.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.